It's been a privilege and a pleasure to be with you already. How wonderful to be blessed by the cello, by the way. Thank you so much. Surely God's favorite instrument after the banjo, but it's a tight race. I've enjoyed the warm hospitality of Mountain Brook Baptist Church already. I can also report to you that for the first time in my life, I had snapper throats for dinner, which 24 hours ago I did not know existed. So I am enjoying Alabama so far. I invite you, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Paul writes to the Christians in Colossae, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell rich among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. I want to just draw our attention in a brief time of meditation on this passage to three things: a metaphor, a concept, and a connection. See, now you can tell I'm not a preacher because I don't have alliteration. I tried to come up with a word that starts with C for metaphor, but we're going to sort of pay attention to three things in this passage: an important metaphor, a word picture that's going on, a concept that's kind of buried in the middle here that I think cracks open the passage for us, and then finally a connection in this passage that I think might open it afresh for us in new ways. The first is the metaphor, the word picture, an image. Clothe yourselves in compassion. Clothe yourselves with kindness, with humility, gentleness, patience. Clothe yourselves. Paul writes, he uses this metaphor in one other spot in Romans chapter 13, where he says, clothe yourselves in Christ. In some ways, this invitation into the Christian life is, it's like getting dressed, Paul says. Clothe yourselves in all of these things. These are the things that will mark us as a peculiar people. These are the things that will show our Christ-likeness. Now, why might this clothing metaphor be interesting? Well, here's the piece I've been thinking. We are newly grandparents, and if I meet you today, I will undoubtedly try to show you pictures of my granddaughters. But it's got us revisiting children growing up. And some of you are in the thick of this right now. And do you remember when you went from the stage? Of course, we begin by clothing our children. And then part of their growth and maturation process is that eventually we start to let them get dressed themselves. And the results are creative, let's say. Right? But eventually you get to this kind of like late toddler stage, maybe it's a little bit older than that. And, getting dressed is something you have to learn how to do. right? It doesn't come, these are not instincts that we have. Learning how to get dressed is something that you learn how to do. So we do it for the first stages, and then we let children learn how to grow it, how to do it. They practice their way into knowing how to do that. And for a couple years, it's dodgy, and we would never let them do it on their own on a Sunday morning. Have you ever given like a four-year-old a turtleneck to put on? It's like they're wrestling a dinosaur trying to put on a turtleneck. Fast forward, I teach college. I teach 18-year-olds at 8 a.m. in the morning. Philosophy. If they're taking philosophy at 8 a.m., that's usually a sign that they were not on top of their registration process. But here's what's amazing. You know, you think back to where it is like an adventure for a child to get into clothing. I'm quite certain that I have students who wake up at 7:55 and actually dress themselves while still asleep successfully and make it to my classroom at about 8:02, I would say. But what's interesting is they have had so much experience, so they have for so long been getting dressed that you get to a place where you can kind of get dressed without thinking about it. You can get to a place where you can do this in your sleep. It helps if you just have like tracky bottoms and a cap to throw on backwards. But you can do this sort of without thinking about it because it's something you've absorbed and basically it's become natural for you. One of the things I want us to think about in this passage is that when Paul says to clothe ourselves in these Christ-like activities, these Christ-like behaviors, if you will, he's not saying play dress up. This is not a dress rehearsal. We're not faking it. I think the clothing metaphor has actually something more deeply, that this becomes something that we do as part of our nature. Okay, that's the metaphor. That's the word picture. Everybody with me? The second thing is a concept. Do you notice in, look at verses 13 and 14 again. So clothe yourselves in what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. These are things that we associate often with fruits of the Spirit. These are Christ-like ways of being in the world. Forgive one another. And then look at verse 14. I'm reading from the NIV, which I think is also your pew Bibles. And over all of these, what? Virtues. Over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So first of all, I don't know how you are all picturing this, but when I hear put on love, which binds them all together, I guess I picture love as like this big chunky belt that kind of pulls the whole, it's like makes the ensemble work, right? Oh, that's it. It's, you weren't dressed until you put on that belt, and now it works. But what is the significance of the fact that Paul is calling these virtues? Now, I want to suggest that in some ways, I think maybe especially those of us who are Protestants, the language of virtues has been sort of lost to us a little bit. We know it vaguely is associated with something like morality or ethics, but I think we have actually lost the significance and meaning of what Paul calls virtues here. And I think it's worth us recovering this biblical understanding of what a virtue is to understand actually what Paul is doing and inviting us to in this passage. We know that virtues are some sort of moral category, but what we probably don't adequately appreciate, and we might even, I say this again, often many of us who are Protestants, we might even have a certain allergy to this. What is a virtue? A virtue is not just a good thing that you do. A virtue is a good habit. A virtue is a habit. Do you remember what bad habits are called? Vices. Virtues and vices. Okay, well, why does this matter? What's the significance of calling these virtues then? Well, when we say that compassion and kindness and gentleness and humility are virtues, what we're saying is these are habits that we have. And in this sense, they are not just external things that you do. They are actually a little bit of philosophy this morning. Are you okay with that? A tiny little bit of philosophy. A habit is an internal disposition to the good. So we you know what, you think of a habit. I met a golfer this morning, right? Or you think of baseball. You know, you watch a batter who comes up to the batting box, and they just have these insane rituals that they go through before you have to take a pitch. We think of maybe habits as these external things we do. Think of habits rather as these internal dispositions that are sort of part of who we are. And as you acquire these habits, what that means is you become the kind of person who is disposed, who is sort of leaning in, who is kind of made in such a way that this is what you do because this is who you are. You're not just following a rule. You're not just obeying a commandment. You're not just doing what you're told. This has become so part of the fabric of your character that now this is the way of living that comes out of you because you have been changed. That's what it means to have a habit. A habit is this internal disposition of character that makes us the kind of people who act this way, in a sense, without thinking about it. It's become part of our nature. Do you ever use the phrase, oh, that's second nature for her? Right? Oh, look at her. That's second nature for her. What do we mean when we use that phrase? It means something like, that's who she is. She couldn't not be that way. Interestingly, why is it called second nature? Why second nature? Because she learned to be that way. This isn't natural. This isn't biological. This isn't instinct. She became... She was taught, she was raised, she was trained, she was formed. She became the kind of person, so this is now who she is, and it's like it's natural for her, but she learned it. It was acquired. That's what a virtue is. How are we doing? Is this helpful? So when Paul says we should clothe ourselves in Christ, we should clothe ourselves with these virtues of disposition, of humility, of kindness, of gentleness, of forgiveness. What he's saying is we in the Spirit should become the kind of people for whom being compassionate, being kind, being humble comes naturally. That's a sign of a Spirit-filled life. That's the sign of a life that is lived in the Spirit. In a way, when I encounter a situation that calls for compassion. This is free footnote. This is St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the great doctors of the church. St. Thomas Aquinas says, when I come to a situation that calls for compassion, if I have to stop and think about it, it's actually a sign that I don't yet have the virtue. Now, don't get me wrong. Stopping and thinking about it and then choosing to be compassionate, that's great. That means you're on the way to getting the virtue. But the kind of person I want to be in Christ is the kind of person for whom, when I see a situation that calls for compassion, I can't not be compassionate. Because I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, and this has become part of the very fabric of my character. Clothe yourselves in these virtues means live in such a way that these things become woven into the very fabric of our character so that what bubbles up from us in, as a Spirit-filled life is we are people who see and act in the world as Jesus does. Well, how does that happen? Two things. This is just quick. There are two ways that you learn virtues. One, interestingly, is by imitation. Everybody who is a parent knows this. How do people acquire these habits and dispositions of character? They model. They watch models and they imitate models. Bad news is, it's also how we learn vices. It's also how we learn bad habits. Now, is imitation language, do you ever hear that in the Bible? Yeah. Paul also, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Whenever you hear that imitation language in the New Testament, it's actually, again, virtue language. So one of the ways that we learn to sort of apprentice ourselves to a Christ-like life is we look at the exemplar of Jesus. And friends, we also look at the exemplar of the saints that God puts in our lives. A grandparent who is the very embodiment of everything that Jesus loves in the world. And we see her and we model our lives after. We learn the virtue that way. But the other way that we learn the virtues is through practice. We participate in rhythms. We participate in practices. It's the same way as you think of in athletics, the way you get... I'm thinking of the gentleman I met, a golfer this morning. Somebody once told me, if you ever want to beat your brother in golf, give him a book on golf. Why? Gets in his head. Starts thinking about everything. He's up there and he's deliberating about what should be going on. Whereas what you need to do, be a really good golfer, this needs to be part of just who you are. It comes out of you. And it's become part of the fabric of your being. That's what Christ is inviting us into here. So this picture of clothing is this way of life that takes practice. But that way of life that takes practice is not just something like we're putting on. It's actually doing something to us. It's putting something in us. It's inscribing this Christ-like disposition of character so that we are actually becoming different people. Third thing to notice then is this connection in this passage, right? Look back at the scripture. So the first few verses, here's how to live, here's how to be, here's how to act. And then do you notice this pivot that takes place in verse 15? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And then he starts describing, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, do all of this. Through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. What does it sound like Paul is describing in verses 15 and 16? Sounds like church. Sounds like church. Okay. What's the connection then between this invitation, this exhortation to clothe ourselves in Christ's virtues, and then this pivot in verses 15 and 16 to gathering in the body of Christ to participate in these practices of Christian worship? Here's the connection. That's how you learn to put on Jesus. This is one of the places where God invites us into the rhythms and patterns of a spirit-filled life so that in some ways, friends, I want to kind of raise the stakes of what's going on here. When you arrive for worship today, you don't come here just to show God something. You come because God wants to do something in you. God is the one at work here in worship. God is the one who is inviting us into the gospel story as the true story of the whole world that transforms who we are. We become what we worship because what we learn to worship is what we are learning to love. This is where the belt gets tied. This is how we practice our way into this Christ-like love. Think of this as a training ground. Think of the body of Christ as a gymnasium, John Calvin called it, where in a way we are going through the routines. We are learning how to clothe ourselves in Christ. We are being invited into the story. The practices of Christian worship are those habitations of the Spirit by which we are filled. and so empowered and enabled to live that kind of life. There's a British writer I love named Robert McFarlane. I don't know if others have read. He has a book about walking called The Old Ways. And he says that he talks about something that he calls desire paths. Have you ever been to like a college campus and it has like a quad and there's like the official sidewalks where you're supposed to walk, but then there's like the path where everybody actually wants to go that's been worn in the ground by feet after feet after feet because those are called desire paths. Friends, when we gather here in Christian worship, we are, in a sense, stepping into the desire path that Jesus himself has blazed. This is one of the ways where we learn how to clothe ourselves in Christ. Here is the way that we are invited to live as people who are animated by love. Let's pray. Gracious God, you are always before us. You call us to nothing less than your life. But you have filled us and empowered us with your Spirit, and you know that we are creatures of habit. And so you give us this place, this body, these practices to train our hearts to love you and to love what you love in the world. Beat a desire path in our heart. Make a groove in our heart that makes us people who love what you love for your neighbors. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.